How do you prepare a child for life?
Parents and educators the world over are asking this question.
For us, it all begins with character development.
And laying the foundations for children and young adults to positively navigate the greatest challenges of life.
Better Never Stops is a podcast by Thimble School.
With the aim of exploring our progressive character-driven approach to nurturing young people.
With a mix of guests sharing inspirational reflections on the power of character.
Better Never Stops opens the doors to your children's futures.
Hi guys, I'm Mitch Turner and welcome to another episode of Better Never Stops with Finborough School. I'm head of rugby here and I've been coaching for just over 10 years and I also run my own coaching business. I'm delighted to be leading the panel discussion today on the role of character in sport. I'm joined today by Millie Collins, Harvey Finbo and Jemima Potter. Thank you all for being here. Can I just get a little bit about yourselves and what you do at the school?
Thanks, Mitch. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for your invite. I'm Millie. I've been teaching here for the past 18 months, enjoying it. It's a good place to be. Yeah, there's a lot of good people around. My teaching background has been 20 years plus. I've played sport all my life, basically. I've played National League hockey for 9 years. Fortunately, I'm just about still playing now, although the body has taken several hits, literally. I sort of moved into coaching after playing. I've played England Rounders and was captain of the England Rounders for a fair few years and then shifted into coaching the under-21s and the senior squad. It's just nice to give people opportunities to participate and enjoy the activities that they're involved in.
Perfect. Jem?
Wow, how do you follow that? Hi, I'm Jemima. Not quite as many years of experience in teaching as Millie, but from a sporting perspective, I've played sport since I can remember, done hockey, netball, tennis, rounders all through my life. Specialised in tennis when I was 14 years old, when I went over to Millfield School. I was very privileged to go and have that opportunity, which then luckily fed itself into a scholarship out to America, where I played at Division One uni for 4 years. And then after that, heading into the teaching and the coaching route, luckily I still get to play some netball. I think similarly with Millie, it's just being able to give those opportunities back, since I've had so many opportunities myself and been really lucky to have that.
And Harvey?
Thank you, Jemima. I'm Harvey. I'm predominantly a rugby coach here, and I also coach at Colchester Rugby Club, Northampton Saints. I've got a politics, philosophy and economics degree. And similar to the ladies, I had a passion for sport as a young child. It was important to me to play as many sports as I could, so I never specialised in any sport, but played as many team sports as I could. Now, with fixtures and lots of weekends being taken up coaching, I dabble in a little bit of golf from time to time, just as a bit of a release.
I think dabble is probably just a bit of a slight lie. You're very good at golf. What's your handicap?
2 at the moment.
Right, yeah, so a slight dabble of golf. So obviously I introduced myself very briefly. I'm head of rugby here at Finborough School. In terms of my background, I'm very much coaching based rather than the teacher side of things. I do teach at the school. I teach BTEC coaching alongside running the rugby programme. Thank you for introducing yourselves.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
So sort of continuing in the vein of us playing sports at a younger age, can you tell me a little bit more about the relationship you have with it whilst you're a child, and kind of do you think that there's anything that's in those sports that shaped you to be the person that you are today?
I think that the passion was driven by having fun initially and enjoying a form of sport, like I said earlier, whether it just be throwing, catching in the garden. Many a time was spent with my dad in the garden learning how to catch and throw a cricket ball, which was quite testing with little hands, but it was great fun. And from there, my passion grew. Obviously, through the introduction of sport at school, it really began to drive things forward. I was the only girl in the football team at primary school, which, you know, it's a challenge doing those things, and it's nice to be challenged, and that challenge has always grown, and therefore my zest to want to pursue that challenge has been driven by that, to succeed and push myself. So the growth has come through my experiences, yes, from family life, but also from the other influences. Clearly school has been a driving force, and individuals throughout my life that you meet as you travel along with the activities that you do. they project good things, and you take what you see and you want to emulate, and other things maybe not so much, therefore you move on from those things. But I think it's been a force that I've always pushed forward with and really enjoyed. And I enjoy now trying to help and assist other people to have those thoughts and feelings about it and want to challenge themselves as well.
I think that's the special thing with coaching, is being able to try and pass on potential learnings you've had onto children that are going through the same thing. And I think, similar to Millie, my best memories that I go back to as a child are always playing sport, whether it's making a cycling ramp in the garden, or whether it's catching my old man, or playing cricket with my granddad. It's all those, the best memories I had as a child was playing sport.
And I think you two are hitting on that, the nail on the head, really, because you're talking a lot about the people, and I think the people you're surrounded by, whether that is coaches, teachers, the people you have at school, the friends that you have, I think that's what drives it. And I think that's why here at FIMRA as well, you know, we have such a big team element, whether that is from your rugby, netball, hockey, but also through our athletics events, even though, yes, some of them are individual events, I think we are very much about being together as a school and doing it for one another, as well as, you know, from our tennis side of things. We have a great tennis program here, but those events are done with a group. It's not just on an individual basis, and I think that's key here at FIMRA.
So, obviously, to all of the regular listeners of the FIMRA School podcast, we have a strong connection to trying to build character with all of our pupils. And obviously, that doesn't just happen inside the classroom. For us, it happens out on the sports field, and obviously also hopefully away from school at the same time. Why do you think character is so important in sport?
I think basically character is a thread that can be woven through so many parts of your life. I think ultimately sport is such a powerful tool that is wider reaching beyond your pitch, your court, whatever it may be. And therefore, the opportunity to bring two together in your life is massive. There's so many elements to character that we can draw upon. We can mention a few parts, you know, teamwork, collaborative work. It's fundamental in your team sports, clearly, but actually it's fundamental in individual parts of sport as well. You've got to have teamwork about you when you're working with your coach. You've got to have those collaborative relationships to make those successes come through. You've got to have determination, perseverance as well on the sports field. I had an example. Together with discipline, I'm going to add to this, because at the weekend, my team, unfortunate to captain the Bury Ladies once, and we had a game away at the weekend. Unfortunately, it wasn't going our way with some decisions, and we lost a few players off the pitch. And I said to the team, it's about what we do now, it's about our character and how we pull together. Our discipline needs to portray the team that we want to be. We can't afford to lose any more players off this pitch, so we need to step it up. And so they did, and it's such a very proud moment when people come together and demonstrate all their character and pull it together, and it really therefore, you know, shines through. We ended up winning 3-0 in the end, so that was a bonus.
Top work.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, like I say, there's so many elements to character that can be threaded through all the parts of our lives.
This is probably a bit of a question for you two, Harves and Jemima. Sort of coming from or have an experience of more individual sports, I don't personally have that. Is there anything different that you think you'd get from an individual sport than you would a team sport in terms of character?
I think the sole difference in my head is there's an accountability to yourself, a dedication to yourself. Playing a team sport, if you fail to stick to whatever you've set out to be your values or goals as a team, you're letting other people down in your environment. However, if it's a personal thing, a solo sport, you've got to be very disciplined to hold yourself accountable. Otherwise, there's not going to be anyone that's necessarily holding you accountable. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about team sports. There were other people holding you accountable. Whereas for solo sports, you've got to be very disciplined, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I also think a big part of it is that you have to be very resilient. Because at the end of the day, if you make a mistake, if you make an error, that comes down to you. You don't have anybody else to fall back on and to pick you up per se in that specific moment. The great thing about team sports is if you're having an off day, you've got people around you to pick you up, to maybe give you the time to have, you know, a few minutes off to sub on, sub off, etc. But if you're out there on your own in a team, in a individual sport, you don't have that opportunity. You have to problem solve and be resilient in that moment when times are tough. And I think that is huge in your character development, where you were going to need that later on in life. You need to be able to problem solve. You need to be strong in difficult scenarios. And that's not just on the sporting field. And it's not necessarily if you are an able sportsman or woman. It is important for everyone to learn those skills.
Perfect. And that leads quite nicely to the stuff that we do at school here to try and help either build that character or build those behaviours to help with those. So we've got our assessment criteria that we use within sport called Sportability. Jemima, do you want to have a little bit more of a chat about what that includes and how we use it?
Yeah, so Sportability is our framework to how we assess students, and we've had a great opportunity recently to develop that ever so slightly and make it clearer for the students in what they are trying to achieve. So we're looking at starting off in the pre-prep, where our core DNA values are being together, be brave and be hardworking, and that's fundamentally making sure that those characteristics are embedded in our sport from pre-prep and they have those values from the get-go. We're then looking at adding in being committed as they get into prep school. This is when you're looking at sports becoming more competitive and where they need to commit to those fixtures to make sure that they are committing to training in prep for those fixtures. And then another layer again, where we are going into senior sports and looking at being determined and being a leader.
Fantastic. So I know from my personal experience of working in different schools that it's not quite the same as how we do it. I think we're kind of paving the way in helping our children develop character and get the right behaviours. And obviously that works quite well in interlinking how we do our things in school at the same time. So we have learnability in class. Learnability being the way in which our students learn inside the classroom, so their learning behaviours. And very similarly for sportability, it's not how well they do on the sporting field, it's what they do within their training to help them get that end product when they leave us. Is there any experiences that you guys have had within different schools as well that you've seen very differing approaches?
I think ultimately, you know, that's a common thread though, to develop within sport that character, because again, we consistently say it, you need that. It's an integral part to work on an individual basis, to work as part of a team. And some youngsters jump on board with that quicker than others, but it's a teacher, coach's prerogative to try and develop that, progress that. And some will achieve highest height in that. They will really absorb it, digest it, and run with it, and even, you know, excel and exceed in that. Whereas others will struggle with that, and their developmental stages will take a longer process to get there than others. I think at this school, within the girls' sport, obviously Jemima will pitch in as well, but we've tried to work hard with developing those traits, their ability to reflect richly upon what they have delivered and be open and honest about their own performances and others, and learn to take it in the value that will be useful for them to take forward. That's sometimes difficult, I think, for individuals to do, because sometimes they can't take open criticism to a certain extent, or positive criticism there. So it's a learning curve in that respect to allow them to then project themselves to the next level of what they want to be.
And fundamentally, I think, again, it's, you know, preparing them for once they leave school. That is our ultimate goal here, is to prepare them best we can so that when they enter the real world and leave the lovely Fimbra bubble, they are prepared best they can. And whether that is within sport or whether that's outside of sport, being able to take constructive criticism, being able to handle a defeat, you know, in a tough competition, having those skills will then eventually, hopefully, help them in whatever career and whatever path that they go down.
With regards to Sportability, I think it links very, very closely to character. And been in a few environments now that say character is one of their main key objectives, aims, whatever it might be, but I haven't quite been a setup where it's embodied as much as at Fimbra. I we'll talk about from the rugby's perspective, and Mitch will chime in. But a lot of the rugby is very player-led. It's very different to any environment I've been in before with that. It took a while to actually get my head around, and I know Mitch has spoken to me about it as much as spoken to the players about it. Average week will often consist of a senior meeting where the boys tend to lead it. We then have a review and a preview, which the boys often lead. And as coaches, we occasionally will share a bit of information, but it's predominantly led by the boys. And then when it comes to a Tuesday session, that's a main sort of coaching session where we'll implement new tactics or technical input. And then a Thursday is very much, from a coach's standpoint, hands off. Is that the best way of describing it, would you say?
Yeah, just taking them off the leash, I'd probably say. Just let them self-explore and
make decisions.
Yeah.
And whether they see them as positive decisions or decisions they can improve next time, a lot of it is all over to them. We have very limited technical input or tactical input in those. It's lads, have a go, see what works, see what doesn't work, and then it's over to them to work out how they can adjust next time and what they would learn from their previous attempts at it.
And obviously, if there's anything that we feel as though they haven't touched upon, we'll then ask the question as opposed to giving them the answer. It's very much an approach that's probably very different to most schools, because it's allowing the children to just make decisions, whether it be right or wrong, but obviously it's inside a controlled environment that allows for that to happen. And we are there as a bit of a safety blanket, but we found that the best way for them to learn and develop the skills moving forward, and we see it with our older individuals, that it puts them in a really good place come big competitions, big matches, that we're not on the pitch. We can't go around telling them what to do. And I think that's probably something that we pride ourselves on, is that we're not on the side of the pitch shouting. We're there quiet, we're letting them make decisions and trying to figure out what's going on. And when they move on from us, whether that's still that they're playing sport or they're in a business and doing whatever they're doing, they're still going to have to make decisions. So rather than having a reliance on somebody to help them and hold their hand and pull them along, hopefully when they get to that point, they'll be able to just figure out those things by themselves.
And I think decision making, as Mitch said, is the key aspect there. I think you see a lot of youth environments where decision making has been taken away from the children and sort of handed more towards the coach. Here it's the opposite. We pride all our students on making a decision, committing to the decision, and then learning from the decision. And I think from a rugby perspective, really proud of what the boys have achieved this year in making decisions from a player-led environment as opposed to a coach.
Yeah, and hopefully if you were to come into our school, you'd probably see that across the board.
Yeah.
Whether that be football or our summer sports, like our cricket programme, and I'm sure the girls could probably echo that at the same time.
I think we've had, particularly this season, obviously myself and Millie have only been here 18 months, so I think the biggest sort of example that comes to my mind is this season, netball season in particular. You know, the girls said at the start of the season they had certain goals with regards to ISAs and, like you said, big competitions and things like that. And even though there have been some difficult times, you know, we as coaches, we had their goals in our mind and they told us this is what they wanted. And, you know, even if at times the girls lost sight of that, we didn't lose sight of that. And as a team, whether that's coach and players, we drove to try and succeed and achieve those goals that they have set out. And I believe this is probably one of the most successful netball seasons that we've had here at Finborough School, particularly from a senior school perspective, where our first team recently just came second in the cup competition, the ISA under-16s won the plate, and our under-13s go to the national ISAs tomorrow. So, you know, I think from that perspective, it's, you know, it's dripping through, whether it's from a boys or a girls perspective. I think having that player-led and giving those girls and those boys some confidence to make those decisions and really, you know, put themselves out there to want to succeed. They might fall short and that's all right. And, you know, putting themselves out there gives them the opportunity to do that.
I agree. I think it also develops their respect for one another. It's tough putting yourself in a leadership position at a young age. And like you said earlier, rightly or wrongly, decisions are made. But it's having the confidence to do that and therefore the backing of the team. and they move forward together, therefore. They generate, like I said, that mutual respect for one another. And it's been a great successful season for the netballers, and obviously there's definitely more exciting times to come, and we're looking forward to developing the programme even further.
So I think one of the really good ways that we've helped our younger students is by the Sports Professionals Programme. So the Sports Professionals Programme is a tailored programme for our sixth form students that essentially looks to help them improve their professional behaviours, their sporting behaviours, to help them when they leave us and move on to whatever that may be. One of the ways that they're used within the programme is to help with our younger students. They come out and coach on a Monday and Wednesday in the afternoon. They come on the fixtures as well. Could you give us a little bit of detail of what that's looked like for you as coaches and how they've helped you?
So we're very fortunate as Take the Under 13 Boys Rugby, and we've been very fortunate to have Carter, who's come over from New Zealand on exchange over here, and he's been a fantastic role model to some of the younger boys. These lads are sort of 12, 13, and having an 18-year-old that is a role model to them is fantastic. And I think back to my playing opportunities as a young lad, I wish I had a younger and what you feel at the time is more relatable person to talk to. So between Carter and Harry, they've been fantastic. A lot of the coaching this year with them has come from them as well. So that sort of player-led environment has come from the players in the first team, under 18s, and now gone into the under 13s. And the boys can see a very clear progression throughout the school with the rugby programme. And I have to say, it's one of the things I most enjoy about the week is coaching on a Monday with those boys and seeing how those younger lads interact with them is fantastic, and it is inspirational. And I wish that was something that was around when I was younger and getting into sport.
I think definitely some of the key things you just said there is them about being a role model. We're lucky on the girls' side to have Fiennes been helping coaching for the majority of the year, recently working with primarily the under 11s but also working with the under 13s as well. And having that person who maybe is slightly more relatable to them, yeah. The girls love it, and giving also that senior opportunity for them to come and coach opens some doors and also opens their eyes a little bit and understanding of what it's like to be on the other side. And I think that then helps them take that back into their team when they go back and play for their first teams or whatever team they're part of. It's been a great opportunity and for them to grow as a person themselves, but also to then help those younger students.
But I don't know how you feel about it with the girls' side of it. Often there's a 13-year-old lad is having troubles in school. Sometimes they won't open up to us as members of staff, but they will talk to a 17-year-old who's with them, and I think it's a fantastic bridge.
So continuing on from the mentorship side inside school, is there any examples, because I'm conscious we've spoken quite a lot about the elder students and specific sports, is there any examples from hockey or football and inside the younger age groups inside the prep school?
Yeah, definitely. We've had quite a lot of that recently where some of our younger students lack a little bit of confidence being competitive from the get-go. I think they need a little bit more experience playing the sport for a little bit longer before they feel as though they're ready to compete against other schools. So what's been really good is to have the opportunity for those students to have a slightly different role. So for example, for my under 9 hockey team, we had one of the boys come over and be my assistant coach. And it was great because he, you know, led some of the team talks, he was talking through tactics, and it was great to see the relationship those pupils had, that even though he wasn't necessarily playing, but he was a huge part of that team and actually a lot of success for that day. So it's been really lovely to give those opportunities to students who might not be ready to take the pitch or the field, but they are there in some capacity.
And it's great as well because that still links within the sportability framework, because potentially for some that they might not actually have the confidence to speak to a group of people, so that's the element of being brave, but they're also still being together because they're still being a part of the group. And they're hardworking because they're still trying to be a part of what's going on and putting themselves out there. So that's awesome. So we could chat about this all day long, but I'm conscious we do need to get off to our lessons to finish up the day. But we do always finish with one last question on the podcast, which is, what piece of advice would you give your 13-year-old self? We'll start with Harvey, and then we'll whip round and I will finish up.
That's a good question, Mitchell. What would I tell my 13-year-old self? I'd probably say embrace being uncomfortable. I think there's far too many times I've potentially taken a slightly easier route or one that reduces the chances of failure quite heavily. But actually, I think if I could go back, I would tell my young self, just embrace being uncomfortable. If you make a decision that results in a failure in one way, shape or other, learn from it, have another go. Don't always take the easy option. Try and find a way to make yourself uncomfortable and be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Great little nugget there. What about yourself, Millie?
It's similar but slightly different. I think for me it's always to challenge. Keep pushing yourself. Challenge what you're able to do. Sometimes it won't come off, sometimes it will. So yes, always push. But look after your body at the same time, because
it's
although
true.
Sport is great, sometimes it does take its toll. So at the same time, get your balance right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jemima?
I think it's a really hard question, and obviously you could give yourselves lots of nuggets of advice if you could, but I guess I'd probably say to have a bit more self-confidence is the first one that comes to mind, and to trust the process and to believe that things will turn out all right in the end, because looking back they did. So I think being able to have that self-confidence.
And Mitch, have you got anything to wrap us up on? What would be your advice you'd give to a 13-year-old self?
Mine would be to not to have a herd mentality, to pave your own path and do your own thing, because I think it's very often, especially with younger individuals, that there's a lot of having to try and fit in, and not everyone does, and that's absolutely fine. But for you to get the most out of everything that you do and want to do, sometimes the best thing is to just do your own thing and back yourself. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
I'd love a great afternoon of sport.
Thank you.
And to all of you listening at home, thank you for your time, and we'll see you on the next podcast.